Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
It's difficult for people who have loved ones who are incarcerated. I can't imagine what that's like when that person is no longer at the table, especially if the crime has something to do with something that is now legal, at least in our state. Michael Leonard is a criminal defense attorney. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lisa, thanks for having me. I listen to you all the time.
Ah, thank you. We heard the president last week. I don't know if it's called decriminalizing it, but he put cannabis in the same class as heroin. Well, it used to be in the same class as heroin and LSD. Now it's grouped with drugs like Tylenol and steroids. That to me would mean that people will not be arrested for cannabis-related charges anymore, but that's not true, is it?
Correct. No, we're kind of in an evolution, so he wants the Attorney General to take all the steps necessary to reclassify it as a Schedule 3, but we still have, it's not legal under federal law, and we have a patchwork of state laws, which all have their own interpretation of how much marijuana you can have and not be prosecuted or be prosecuted.
And he bounced out. We'll get him back on. What is interesting is, and I'll ask him as soon as we get him back on the phone, is perhaps this is the president's first step in decriminalizing it on a federal level, which would make it easier for people who use it for medical reasons or who consume it recreationally, because as you know, it's different when you cross a state line, and it's not something that you can have in any federal spot, like an airport. Sorry about that, Michael. So do you think this is a step by the president to kind of test the waters to see if it's time to decriminalize it federally?
Yeah, I think that's certainly a first step in that process, but we still have a long way to go. And, you know, the states are going to, once that happens, if it's decriminalized at the federal level, then, of course, you know, states are all going to follow suit. But we're far from there, and I think it's an issue that doesn't have, you know, uniform support, certainly across the states, as you can tell by the kind of the patchwork of laws that we have right now.
Oh, my God. Every time he finishes a sentence, the phone pops out. Maybe get him on another line or something. NBC5 did an investigative piece, and they found there's still a high number of people who are locked up in Illinois prisons for cannabis crimes, and that arrests and prosecutions for marijuana continue. And there is a pot prison population growing each year throughout the state of Illinois. Ash, do we have him back yet? I have a feeling that's our phone system. Sometimes it's a long explanation. I know you've experienced it in the past, and I have too, and it's not going unnoticed, and it is something that... Okay, so Michael, I was talking about that NBC5 Investigates piece where people are still being prosecuted. They're being arrested, they're being prosecuted, they're being incarcerated. What kind of charges for, what is it, distributing illegally, or what are people going to prison for pot for?
So if we're really talking about Illinois, and I think that was the focus of that article, you know, there's a state law, of course, that allows you to have a certain amount of marijuana, which is 30 grams, but it doesn't allow you to be a distributor. It doesn't allow you to have mass quantities of it. So clearly, in all the counties in Illinois, there's a de-emphasis on marijuana cases. However, if you find somebody with mass quantities or someone who's distributing it, they're still going to be targeted for prosecution. But the prosecutions overall for marijuana possession are drastically down.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. What about those people that were, you know, convicted prior to this, what you called almost a new revolution or evolution of these cannabis laws? Is it easier to get them out, or are they in for the duration of their sentences?
Upon individual circumstances. So for someone who was a purveyor, a transporter, a seller of giant amounts of marijuana, it's probably not going to change for them. You know, they have a less of an odds. But for a lot of people who had convictions for a lesser amount, they weren't big transporters or distributors, they certainly have a chance of getting their sentence either commuted or getting a pardon by the governor. But again, it's just going to evolve here. But clearly, you know, the big cases where people had mass amounts, I don't think their situation is likely to change very quickly in the near term.
One of our texters is telling us that they're having a hard time finding work because they all test for marijuana, even though it's legal and this person consumes cannabis. And will that ever change, or is that up to each individual company?
Well, it's up to each individual company, but you might have an Illinois law that says that you can't do that, that you can't use that as a basis to deny someone employment for something that is legal or, you know, quickly may become legalized on a national basis. So I think that certainly could become the focus of the Illinois legislature going forward, just like we have laws that say, hey, you can't refuse to hire someone because they've had an arrest. So, you know, you could see legislation that could come about in the near future, next couple of years, even next year, that might address that. But again, you have this problem of drawing the line, you know, and drawing the line on what type of job you're talking about. You know, do you have to use machinery? Do you have to, is it a dangerous job? All those sort of things that go into it. So again, there'll be some challenges in trying to fashion laws that will fit for everybody and every type of employment.
And is it because that seems to stay in your system as far as testing goes longer than alcohol would, when they still both might impair you, especially if a job like you just described?
Oh, sure. So, you know, in marijuana testing, you know, with some of our clients or people we've worked with over the years, you can still see traces of it sometimes, you know, 30 days or longer, even though they might have consumed a small amount, and really depends upon the type of testing that's done. But certainly it does lead to a lot of unfairness. You know, if you have a, let's say you have a medical use, or it's not even a medical card use, but it's just a small amount that you use, like a lot of people do these days, to be denied employment seems, you know, patently unfair. So hopefully that will change for people as we go forward.
And what's happening if you're traveling, if you're an Illinoisan and you use cannabis and you're traveling to Wisconsin, and let's say you got pulled over for something and they decided to, even if you weren't consuming it at that moment, is it illegal to have it in your car?
It's a state-by-state determination. So if I'm possessing an amount that is in excess of the law in which I'm in the state law which I'm in, let's say, for example, what happens a lot now are people are going to Michigan, because in Michigan, right literally over the border, has 30, 40 cannabis places. Just go up to like Indiana, you're barely across the border going to Michigan, and people are going up there and bringing stuff back to Illinois or even Indiana. So you still are bound by the laws of the state in which you're possessing the substance. So you could be traveling across country, and your activities might be legal in one state and illegal in another state.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the fact that you listen, and I'm sorry about the phone issue today.
Nope. Thanks for having me on. Good Christmas to you and everybody else, okay?
Yeah, Merry Christmas.